Shooters from One Way Home and Carla with a K, and Corey Hart from the soundtrack of Eurasian Eyes to start the hour. Soundtrack of 9.5 weeks, sorry, with Eurasian Eyes. One of your favourites?
That Kim Basinger.
That Kim Basinger.
Is that the one with Kim Basinger? Yes. Leave your hat on, no? Or take
yes.
it off?
You can leave your hat on yeah. and take it off afterwards. good morning to Sally. Near the Lac San Cassio, Montereau. This came in yesterday, just at the end of the show, actually, so I didn't have time to read it. I absolutely agree with Rob. Somebody agrees with me. the peace and quiet of lockdown was the big plus. Here's what we didn't miss. Planes doing aerobatics over the lake. They make the most outrageous noise. Small planes over our pool and buzzy motorised hang glider-type machines. Small helicopters and large army helicopters. Beach buggies and groups of six, quad bikes and souped-up motorbikes. Cars with open windows, blaring music out, and no litter, which I've been picking up for the last 8 years. Without all this aggro, it was heaven. Now it's almost back to normal. Oh dear. See that thing in the paper about that shocking amount of litter that's being dumped on the coast?
Yeah. No, it's a shame. It does seem that people have just dashed back to as before and...
Yeah, some cowboy in my tail this morning on the road coming out of Antibes as I was respecting the speed limit and doing 50, and he wasn't happy about it. Not another car on the road. So he finally lost patience and decided to overtake me on a blind bend and nearly hit another car coming the other way.
Shocking.
I think the fast food restaurants have got to up their game in terms of packaging, though, haven't they?
So, well, something's got to be done.
Pizza boxes and hamburger wrappers and, you know, it's all unnecessary.
Completely.
How do you get a takeaway pizza without a box, though?
You could maybe eat it there. It wouldn't be a takeaway pizza, then. I don't know. What would you do? You could... I don't know. Or just at least throw it away. I mean, we things are provided to be able to separate our waste. And
I think, in fairness, some people have tried to throw them away, but the litter bins have been absolutely full up, so they've just left them by the side of the litter bin.
That does seem to be, a bit of an issue.
But if you make bigger litter bins, it just means there'll be more waste put in them. Take them home, maybe?
Well, you'd have it at home, wouldn't you? I had two the other night.
No, some people... You had two what?
Takeaway pizzas. They came in a box.
Okay, but then you can dispose of it at home. But if you want a takeaway pizza to eat on the beach, for example.
Oh, what? You don't. You just leave it on the beach and don't bother putting it anywhere, or you put it near a bin that's already full.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe people should be encouraged to take their litter home with them and dispose it there.
Yeah.
It's not going to work, is it?
No. Nice try.
8:19.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Good morning to you. Well, today we've got a lovely adult dog looking for a good new home with a garden, please. Asco is his name, and he's a cross between a Labrador and a Newfoundland, so he's a large dog. He's got a shiny black coat and the most beautiful soft brown eyes. He's 8 years young, so an adult dog. And just to say, older dogs are often much calmer. They also need less exercise, leaving more time for you. They tend to have better manners, they come house-trained, and they're not as destructive as a puppy, and also they can be left alone while you go out. And of course, with an adult dog, what you see is what you get. Asco is at the SOS Foyer Chien Âgé in Saint-Vallier, that's the one above grass, and you can call them on 06-36-88-5731 to make an appointment to meet him.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woof Riviera Radio.
Time for this morning's comedy. Here is Sir Lenny Henry.
My mum used to look at me, Len, where are you going?
I'm going to the discotheque.
Discotheque, discotheque, discotheque off them ugly clothes and go to your bed. No! So I'd wait till she went to bed. Then I'd sneak out to a pub that served you whatever age you were, didn't matter. Get up to the bar, I wouldn't know what to order. I'd hear everybody ordering these drinks, you know, mild and bitter, lager top, gin and orange. First drink I ever ordered was a gin and bitter orange top. And bottom, please. Tasted horrible.
even with the line. It was... Get to my table and... I'm really glad my mum never caught me drinking, you know. I'm glad the police never arrested me and took me down to the police station, because my mum would have had to come and get me out, and that would have been a fate worse than death. She'd walk in. Where is the criminal? You bring shame and tribulation down on my family? You mean to say you was an alcoholic, no? You with the three stripes, let me a truncheon. You mustn't do it again. You mustn't. Come here. I'll be in the pub just drinking 10 pints. Remember how it used to be really important to drink 10 pints? Why, 10 pints? That's not...
God, 10 pints. Yeah. Struggle after three these days.
Yeah, the three-pint rule, I think, is the way forward. Mm. Today's quiz, question number one. On this day in 1974, singer Roberta Flack felt like doing what?
Making love.
Yes, the song went on to become Billboard's Song of the Year. Question number two, on this day in 1966, the Beatles were asking you to read their book. It took them years to write. Will you take a look? Very good.
And you're nice to me today.
I am. Well, you got in a, you got a face on you yesterday. Finally, happy birthday to Shirley Owens, singer of an all-American girl group notable for their popularity in the early 1960s. Can you tell me the name of the group?
Sorry, say again.
Happy birthday to Shirley Owens, born on this day in 1941, singer with an American girl group notable for their popularity in the early 1960s. They were the first all-female black group to have a number one hit record.
Shangri-Las?
No.
The Shirelles?
Yes. And their number one hit record in 1961 was...
Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow?
Very good. Mm. Mm. Surprised yourself there, didn't you?
What did I see Warren G in there?
I knew it to test whether you were cheating or not.
No. I just crossed it by accident.
Well, that was my earworm this morning, but you might have it tomorrow.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Hi.
Good morning.
Any interesting things happened to you on your media round this morning, or everything
no, it
quiet?
It was all rather sedate this morning, it has to be said.
Good.
No problems.
Unlike the markets, which kind of went into reverse yesterday a bit.
A bit of a mixed performance, I think, for markets yesterday. Investors' appetite for technology companies helping to offset some of the concerns over valuations and doubts over the path of COVID-19 and the speed of the economic recovery as restrictions are eased. Should remember, global stock markets have added $21 trillion in value from the March lows, which is, by any account, a remarkable performance in an uncertain world. I think the recent rally leaves very little room for disappointment through the recovery phase. Analysts are predicting that companies' earnings will fully recover by 2021, with companies' ability to grow unencumbered by the reality of a world living with the virus for a prolonged period of time, which certainly would appear to be optimistic. So I certainly wouldn't be surprised if we saw some element of consolidation, and maybe that will come sooner rather than later. In terms of the S&P 500, was down 0.8% yesterday. NASDAQ, though, the technology market was up 0.3%. And we are looking at a stronger start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 18 points. DAX over Frankfurt up 86 points. CAC corner Paris up 32 points.
So you've just been eating your breakfast?
Yeah, a little bit, yes.
You're salivating, boy.
I had a bit of muesli still there, sorry. I'm eating this Rude Health muesli. It's got lots of dates, lots of fruit, and it's very pleasant.
Yeah, you keep going on about that. Oh, well, as long as it's nice. Doing you some good. So you're still predicting a V-shaped recovery?
Well, listen, I think the recovery that we've been seeing and the recent economic data certainly suggests that there's an opportunity for that to happen. But it does, of course, remain vulnerable to a range of factors, not least of which the potential for a second wave to break out and indeed a reversal back into lockdown, which, of course, would have significant consequences for growth profile. But given some of the stimulus that's been put in place, given some of the measures to try and stabilize the economy, it does look like growth could bounce back, certainly in the second half of this year, but particularly as you move into 2021.
Okay, all eyes watching the Fed today. They will issue their first quarterly economic update since the start of the coronavirus crisis.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We've seen very aggressive measures, of course, coming through from the Federal Reserve, cutting interest rates, being very aggressive in terms of providing liquidity into the system. We know the Fed's balance sheet has increased quite dramatically, stands at around $7 trillion today, which is a huge expansion over the course of the past few weeks, and certainly much more aggressive stance taken than where we were even during the course of the great financial crisis. So putting that in some sort of context, be interesting to see what their growth forecasts are, what they believe in terms of the ability for the labour market to bounce back. They would, of course, taken, I think, some element of joy from the figures that we saw for May from the non-farm payroll number, though, of course, there is some debate around the validity of those numbers and whether that will indeed be confirmed. So markets were looking for clues on that, and also whether they continue the debate around the potential to introduce negative interest rates.
Bad news from France. Estimates saying it will take years for the economy to recover.
Yeah, France's economy will take 2 years to recover from the worst post-war recession triggered by the coronavirus outbreak. This is according to the latest forecast from the Bank of France. They are predicting the Eurozone's second biggest economy is on course to contract by 10.3% during the course of this year, before bouncing back with growth of 6.9% in 2021, 3.9% in 2022. They are projecting nearly 1 million jobs are likely to be lost during the course of this year. They think the unemployment rate will climb to a new record of 11.8% in the first half of 2021. Central Bank said the outlook could be brighter if the virus is quickly brought under control, while a second wave could plunge the economy into a 16% downturn during the course of this year. As of the end of May, they said economic activity was still running 17% below normal levels, though that's up from the 32% reduction during the first 2 weeks of the lockdown.
Yeah, all of which means it's going to put an enormous amount of strain on France's generous social security system, and it's kind of stopped Emmanuel Macron's reform plans in their tracks, isn't it?
Well, what we've seen from France is that initially, like many other European countries, started at a national level in terms of trying to put the stimulus in place and trying to provide stability. And that process continued for some time. Now they've moved to a more united European front. So we've seen a consolidation around and a solidarity around fiscal support for the European Union, which will be seen as positive, but perhaps will mean that richer, better off countries will pay a price in order to help the European project. And that will affect, of course, France and Germany specifically. Alongside that, many countries have been looking perhaps to push ahead with structural reforms, but without the financial firepower to do that, given that it's been diverted to helping to rebalance the economy as a result of the COVID crisis, means that they may not be able to push ahead with such structural reform as they were hoping for.
Well, he's made a lot of promises, hasn't he, especially about pumping more money into the public health system. So somebody's got to pay for it, and that just means extra borrowing and a strain on the GDP debt ratio.
Yeah, you see that right across the board. There are some long-term consequences as a result of the measures that have been put in place. Inevitably, we will be, over the course of the next few years, talking about lower levels of government spending. You'll be talking about higher levels of tax, higher levels of borrowing. Borrowing isn't particularly a concern at this level, given it's very cheap, but potentially that could rise within the future. And there's also inflationary risks in there as well. So lots to consider, but probably for policymakers for another day as they try to just navigate through this crisis as best they can.
Foreign exchanges.
Pound against dollar coming in at 127.5 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 113. You're going to get €1.12 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Speak to you in the morning. Hank Potson, Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
Two workmen have been killed in the Alpes de Haute-Provence. The men, aged 56 and 35, were at the time renovating an old house in Reves-de-Bion when an outside wall collapsed. Now, the incident occurred at 6 p.m. on Tuesday evening. Both were declared dead at the scene by emergency services. In other news, 11 people have been placed in police custody as police investigate a ring of fly-tipping on the Côte d'Azur. Six public companies were approached by investigators on Tuesday following months of investigation. The investigation revealed an organised system which had been in operation for several years, with hundreds of thousands of cubic metres of earth, concrete, scrap metal and tar being dumped on sites between Fréjus and Le Luc in the Var and as far as Sospel in the Alpes-Maritime. The latest figures published for the number of coronavirus cases in the Alpes-Maritimes has shown that 99 patients remain hospitalised. It's the lowest figure since March the 27th. Four are in intensive care, and for the sixth consecutive day, no patients have died from COVID-19 in the Alpes-Maritimes. COVID-19 has claimed 248 lives in the Alpes-Maritimes since the start of the epidemic, and 663 patients have returned home. Meanwhile, the French government has said that the health emergency declared in France in March to fight the epidemic of coronavirus will not be extended beyond July the 10th. While some restrictions will remain, the Prime Minister insists that ending the state of the health emergency must be organised rigorously and gradually. Today, the government will therefore present to the Council of Ministers a bill which will, for 4 months, regulate access, if necessary, to transport, as well as limit or prohibit certain gatherings. The number of serious cases of COVID-19 requiring hospitalisation in intensive care has dropped below 1,000, with 955 patients. That's against more than 7,000 at its peak in early April. France has recorded 87 additional COVID-19 deaths, bringing the total number of deaths since the start of the epidemic in France to 29,296. Following the storm alert issued on Tuesday in the Alpes-Maritimes, 300 lightning strikes were recorded between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m, mainly around Grasse and Vence. While the weather remained unsettled along the coast, it was inland which experienced the worst of the weather with violent storms. The team of French star chef Alain Ducasse has confirmed that the Louis XV restaurant in the Principality will reopen from June the 19th. The three-star restaurant, located in the heart of the Hôtel de Paris, will be open for lunch on Saturdays and Sundays. The management specifies that staff are trained and prepared to implement the necessary social distancing measures, as are the producers and suppliers. Reservations are already possible by phone, or you can go to www.montecarlosbm.com. The Eiffel Tower is set to reopen to the public from June the 25th after an exceptional closure of more than 3 months. Only the second floor will be open and masks will be mandatory. The number of visitors will be limited on the forecourt and on upper floors. During lockdown, the most famous monument in Paris paid tribute to those mobilised in the face of the coronavirus. The Eiffel Tower, built in 1889 by Gustave Eiffel, welcomes nearly 7 million visitors a year, including many foreign tourists. France's government has announced plans to work with the textile industry to reduce the widespread use of disposable imported face masks and to promote French-made washable masks as better environmental and economic options. The goal is to convince major buyers to shift from disposable masks to washable and reusable textile masks. Finally, a cat named Fripouille, or Scoundrel in English, has lived up to its name after disappearing from its owner's home in Toulouse, only to be found sunning it up in Saint-Tropez 4 years later. A kitten at the time of her disappearance, Fripouille managed to travel 550 kilometres from her hometown of Toulouse to the sandy coastline of Saint-Tropez. How remains a mystery.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Catmobile?
Who knows?
Football, the England manager Gareth Southgate has said he's tremendously proud of how his players have spoken out on racism and campaigned for charity. Raheem Sterling and Tyrone Mings have both spoken out on racism in recent days, while Jordan Henderson led a players' initiative to raise money for the NHS, and Marcus Rashford has been working with a charity that feeds underprivileged children. Southgate said he had a group of players who understand they have an opportunity to make a difference and that their voices are being heard. Cricket: West Indies have arrived in England for their tour, which will be played behind closed doors. All 39 members of the touring party, including 25 players, tested negative for COVID-19 before taking a charter flight from Antigua to Manchester. They're being tested again at Old Trafford, where they'll quarantine before the three-match test series starts on the 8th of July. The first test will be the first international cricket played since March. And in rugby union, the England international Ellis Genge has said the pulling down of a statue of the slave trader Edward Colston in Bristol was warranted. Genge grew up in Bristol and said a big statue of a slave trader in the city centre was not wanted. He said there had been efforts to have the statue removed for 10 years and its removal was appropriate. Genge grew up on a Bristol housing estate and said he'd experienced racial abuse throughout his life and that it was still rife today.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Outer Maritime and the Var, the general situation is a depression 1,008 millibars over the Ligurian Sea. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat 1,009 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, cloudy, force 3 to 4. Southwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 4 to 6, locally force 7. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,008 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, showery, force 3 to 5 southwesterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Partially cloudy this morning. Thundery showers developing again this afternoon. Lights to moderate westerly winds. Temperatures 21 degrees today. Overnight lows 16 degrees on the coast. 11 degrees inland with partially cloudy skies. Thursday and Friday, sunshine and afternoon showers tomorrow. Mainly fine on Friday. Highs of 21 to 24 degrees. And quite chilly again this morning. I had to wear a coat.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh dear.
Yeah. In the middle of June, whatever next, finally.
A new study by researchers at Cambridge University has revealed that men in 18th century Britain considered middle-aged women as passionate and experienced lovers.
Quite right, too.
Describing them as ripe, mellow fruit. Married women between 30 and 50, considered middle-aged at the time, were portrayed in 18th century material as more lustful and worldly than younger women. This contradicts modern research that portrays mature women of the period as sexually unattractive and becoming more passive with age. Researchers said until now, the sexuality of these women and how it developed through marriage and motherhood has been poorly researched by historians. This middle age was a crucial, important period in which women experienced key sexual, physical and social changes. The goal of the research was to correct the idea that 18th century people saw middle-aged women as sexually unappealing. Researchers said that erotic material from the period can give us an invaluable insight into male fantasies about middle-aged women. Records of the time suggest that men found the idea of misbehaving with the wife of another man or even someone's mother as exciting.
Plus ça change. I never thought that, and I was born in the 18th century. Save it for later. You're up to date. The news is on the website, RivieraRadio.mc.